You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week's bits. The best news nuggets from Breakfast and The Wire from this week.
Atamarie, Kohana Ross Toku Ingwa, and welcome to this week's bits. This week was a pretty big week as a decision came out whether Fairfax and NZME would be merging. The Commerce Commission declared on Wednesday that they won't allow media companies NZME and Fairfax to merge. The deal was rejected in a final ruling by the regulator after being knocked back in a draft decision last year. 95BFM reporter Adam Jacobson reported on the decision explaining why the decision was made.
There are several reasons for the refusal, the first being a substantial loss of competition across the industry.
Our final conclusions on the competition analysis have remained unchanged since our draft decision. We consider that the merger would be likely to lessen competition by increasing prices and or decreasing quality in the provision of online news, Sunday newspapers and the community newspapers in the 10 areas where there is overlap between the merging parties.
The second deciding factor in the Commission's decision is will the potential merger be of any benefit to the public? They found this not to be so.
We do not consider that the merger would be of such a benefit to the public that it should be allowed. Notwithstanding our findings of some significant quantifiable cost savings benefits, in our view, the loss of plurality and quality under the merger would be significant.
This final decision comes after almost a year of deliberation, with the first initial draft determination by the Commerce Commission reviewed back in November 2016. In a tweet stating their first refusal, the Commission included the hashtag #StuffMe, an unfortunate phrasing. Subsequently, updated proposals were put forward to the Commerce Commission by both NZME and Fairfax over the past year, with each submission causing the final judgment to be delayed further. But why was the merger proposed in the first place, and what does this final decision from the Commerce Commission mean for the media in New Zealand? Exclusive merger talks started May 2016. The initial proposal outlined a demerger of NZME from its Australian partner APN, allowing for the company to be officially listed upon the New Zealand Stock Exchange. If the merger had been approved, Fairfax's NZ assets would have been folded into the listing company NZME later that year. The publicised reasons for the merger were expressed by both NZME and Fairfax's upper management as being an exciting opportunity for their shareholders. In a New Zealand Herald article, Fairfax Chief Executive Greg Highwood reinforced this.
This is an important opportunity for all of our shareholders to be a part of the future of content and journalism in New Zealand. The merger would enhance the position the businesses are in to continue to deliver high-quality local content to audiences now and in the future.
Criticism came hard and fast, with multiple submissions received by the Commerce Commission addressing concerns surrounding news coverage and independence being lost due to the formation of a monopoly. I spoke with Green Party spokesperson Gareth Hughes, who stated he stands with media commentators' criticism surrounding the merger.
Look, I think it's understandable we'd be concerned about essentially a monopoly over newspapers, the two largest news websites coming together, and the lack of media diversity in the New Zealand environment. I understand the commercial imperatives, and I note many commentators are saying we basically need to find a more sustainable way to encourage news and journalism in New Zealand, and I think many thought the merger was in fact just a panacea.
Hughes is also praising the Commerce Commission's conclusion not to go ahead, and says if the decision had been different, we would be seeing some long-term consequences.
Well, we know that job losses, unfortunately, would have been a consequence if the merger went through, as the merged companies tried to find efficiencies, to use the corporate term. They were trying to tackle the decline in advertising revenue by reducing costs in the back end. What we do know is there would have been a lot less diversity in our media environment as a result.
Only time will tell what the decision will truly mean for the New Zealand media environment. Is this a turning point for the growing media concentration in New Zealand? Or will commercial dominance manifest elsewhere in the future?
We also heard from AUT's Wayne Hope on the decision.
So APN News and Media New Zealand, which renamed themselves NZME, They want to merge, or wanted to merge, with Fairfax New Zealand. And the reasons for doing that, according to them, so they could get economies of scale, so they could maximise advertising revenue against the force and power of social media, who are attracting a lot of advertisers. So that was the case. And the Commerce Commission, in a draft determination last November, 2016, argued against their arguments, and they've continued to stand against the arguments of NZME and Fairfax in this latest decision. And the grounds of their decision is that a proposed merger would lead to too much editorial power. So you could have an editorial line running through all the newspaper holdings run by one merged entity. And those newspaper holdings, it would mean that one outfit would control approximately 90% of the daily circulation of all New Zealand newspapers. So you can imagine an editorial line running through all those papers that are similar. It means you wouldn't have a diversity of views on issues facing New Zealand. The new merged entity, therefore, would also have the capacity to set news agendas. So the major news story each day that comes out in this new merged entity across their titles would be pretty much similar. And so there'd just be a complete lack of plurality in terms of what news consumers, what news audiences were able to engage with.
Yeah, I understand. So just to build on to that, are you for or against the merger yourself?
I think the Commerce Commission said that if the merger was to go ahead, it would undermine the principles of liberal democracy, basically. And look, I think that's true, because if you look at the daily circulation percentage that a new merged entity would have controlled, I mean, it puts us not that far below China or North Korea. I mean, it's a near monopoly situation. And a democracy is about having a diversity of views and having a range of public information that citizens can choose from. And in my view, the merged entity would have gone against all those principles. So on those grounds, I would have to agree with the Commerce Commission's decision. It would mean that the whole newspaper side of news would become almost a singular voice.
And then we heard from Peter Thompson from the Coalition for Better Broadcasters.
Well, there's a victory for the public interest in the sense that the Commerce Commission has clearly decided that the merger between Fairfax and NZME would have created an unprecedented level of editorial power and media ownership concentration. So in that sense, it's a very important statement that considerations of the public interest outweigh those of overseas shareholders. Now, having said that, I'd also acknowledge that we're left with a number of quite complex problems in regards to the media sector, because clearly NZME and Fairfax have problems with their business models, and I think we need to do something about that.
So, like you said, the business model for Fairfax and NZME is in trouble, and this is why they proposed the merger. What do you believe they will do now that it has been declined?
Well, that's a good question. I suspect there's a good chance that they'll try and take the case to the High Court and appeal the decision of the Commerce Commission. They may also decide that this is now in the too hard basket. They've made their best case, and the Commerce Commission has said no to them twice, both in the draft determination and in the decision today. So if that's not going to go ahead, then I think they're going to have to look at creating new revenue streams. NZME, for example, has just announced that it's going into internet service provision. I suppose that will be in competition with Stuff Fibre that Fairfax controls at the moment. The other options, I guess, are to look at paywalls, which previously they've considered too difficult, and possibly also looking at some kind of news sharing arrangement, although I have to note that there'd be some irony if they now had to go back to the NZPA model, which they dismantled.
And I understand there's been some talk about job losses. Do you think that there will be job losses within Fairfax and NZME?
I think that's very likely, but I would have said that if the merger had gone ahead as well. I mean, there's absolutely no secret that they were looking at merging the companies so that they could create what they called efficiencies. And every time that word's been used over the last decade, jobs have been lost. So I think in either scenario, these companies' agendas has always been to try and save money and maximise profits, and often journalists have been the casualty of that.
Although people have been celebrating the decision to not allow the merger, Duncan Grieve, editor at The Spin-off, expressed that he thought that the merger should have gone ahead.
I thought it was probably the best, most pragmatic way of dealing with this kind of once-in-a-generation, you know, basically unprecedented media environment that we're living through. So it was the best shot we had at maintaining the broadest range of quality written journalism and sort of ceasing some of the kind of particular extremes of useless duplication that currently exist across both organisations and kind of news more broadly. So I was very much, you know, it's not a desirable situation, but this isn't a desirable era we're living through. You just have to be pragmatic about it. And I thought that the decision to merge was the best possible way of dealing with the realities of where we are right now.
So how do you think that would have changed the media landscape had the merger gone ahead?
Well, I think you'd have seen a sort of a streamlining of what was the news that was created by those two organisations, which is to say that, you know, I don't know this from having worked there, but just as an observer of news and someone who knows how it's done, the amount of sort of matched content whereby one organisation reports something and the other sort of scrambles to duplicate it either by doing what's known as a write-off or by kind of essentially kind of duplicating the reporting so that they have an equivalent product to serve to their audience, which has no value to a new consumer in 99% of cases, but consumes a very large amount of resource. That would be cut down. And there'd be some cynics who'd say that would... you know, all they do is stop doing that, they wouldn't increase the output of quality or investigative news. That, you know, that's a valid opinion, but I think the fact that Stuff Circuit exists and the Herald's investigative team exists shows that they do retain a kind of an organisational capacity for and desire to create a good product. It's just you're hamstrung and distracted by the sort of the economics and just the ferocious competitiveness on it. Ironically, I don't, you know, while the Commerce Commission praised the competitiveness of the current model, I actually think it's detrimental to the consumer for there to be that variety of competition for audience.
Was this week's Bits. To listen to the full interviews, visit 95bfm.com and check out the BCasts.
That was a 95bfm podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/BCasts.